Okay, so welcome to this blog talk podcast on sensitive souls and abundance. And I have created this series of podcasts, really, because more is coming up, as an answer to some of the questions I received from my article. I published an article a couple of days ago on why advanced souls have such an issue manifesting abundance. And some of the questions I got really prompted me to offer a couple of podcasts on the subject of advanced souls and what soul work really is. So this is the first in the series, and I just wanted to answer the question, well, where do I begin with soul work, and what is soul work, and some of the initial concepts. But I have to introduce myself first and you know, define what a soul really is. And in terms of what is a soul, the answers have really varied in many religious traditions. So, for example, in Christianity and in all Abrahamic faiths, so in Christian, Jewish, and Muslim traditions, the soul is seen as the essence of humanity's being. It is what animates our body. It is who we are. And the soul is the aspect that connects us with God. It's not really mainstream Christianity to say that the soul is God. At least it's not spoken of so much, especially in Protestant Christianity, I think. But as we go deeper in the mystical traditions, we do find realizations that a soul carries an aspect of God, that the soul itself is pure, and we just need to clear up those debris that, you know, make our well, this pure well of the soul, disconnected from God. And yet, mainstream Christianity is, I think, the most pessimistic in terms of the soul, because it sees it as very corrupt due to the fall. My personal experience, I was born in an atheist family, but at the age of 8, I started getting interested in spiritual things. This happened paradoxically through reading a book by Mark Twain about Joan of Arc. And I think that was the first time I realized that I do believe in God. And I wanted to pray to him and to explore more about Christianity, Catholicism. So I think when I was about 10 or 9, I visited my first Catholic church, and I got totally carried away, and I really just wanted to be Catholic. Because it was the whole spirituality aspect that drew me, and the experience of God through the sacraments. So it was very weird growing up in an atheist home and seeking some spiritual exploration. And when I was 13, 14, very young, but I started reading the theosophical texts, like based on Blavatsky, but not Blavatsky's books, some other books, you know, on the concepts of theosophy and white brotherhood and souls and reincarnation. However, I ended up in a Christian Reformed church, and I was actually baptized there at the age of 16, I believe, in the summer. And secretly from my parents. And so my spiritual exploration has kind of started haphazardly and in a very, very young age. But I was drawn closer to mystical Christianity rather than, you know, the evangelical and the outreach apostolic. And I did connect with the Catholic Church eventually later. You know, I'm back to more of a philosophical outlook on that now. But the point of the story is that my background is mostly Christian, so I do view the soul as a distinct, separate part of us, not as in, for example, Buddhism, where there is only karma. And karma is like a candle that is gradually consuming the wax. So once the wax is burned down, our karma is worked through. And then we cease to exist as an individual. So Buddhism is not really big on afterlife because it's not... The idea is to just cease all existence, all suffering, all desire, and become one with the creator through dissolving individuality. And whereas I believe that the soul is individual and will remain individual. And later in life, I discovered Judaism as well. So some of my concepts and ideas come from mystical Judaism, which is then represented by Lurianic school of Kabbalah. And I don't mean the Kabbalah Center, but I mean the, you know, the Zohar and the mystical books, which I discovered already late in life when I was past 30. So this is basically, well, we can go also into the Hindu definition of soul. So we can argue a lot about what soul is and what is not. In Hinduism, there's really a variety of definitions. And one of them is that there is neither birth nor death for the soul. So the soul has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. It is eternal. Outside the range of the known creation. So rather than offering a set definition, I'm speaking of the soul in my own terms, the way I am able to express them into human language, you know, that will also depend very individually whether you resonate with it or not. But sometimes we just have to figure out what works for ourselves. So basically, my concept of the soul would be as a separate, as an individual part of God that animates the body and that goes through a process of many incarnations in order to grow and evolve. So, what is soul work? How do we define soul work? And I think the misconception is that it is something that we have to do. No, we all are already working on our souls. Our task as souls is to experience all things in the universe. And we begin as part of God. We begin as part of the universe, as part of Creator. And if you don't believe in God, you know, you can say universe or the life force. We incarnate, first as very simple forms of life, and then over countless lifetimes, we reincarnate into increasingly more complex life forms. So eventually, we become human beings, right? And as humans, we again evolve over many, many lifetimes, from infant souls through young souls and into old souls. So our overall goal is to arrive at a place of peace and love for all and everything. And when this mission is accomplished, we return to the Creator. We have raised the sparks, the dark knots of, you know, of potential that has not been actualized. We raise them, we release them into the light, so some darkness goes away and some more light is able to sift through. So we're bringing this light of the soul more and more into the world. That is the purpose of letting the divine permeate the whole material existence more and more and more, so that God is revealed more and more and more in the world. And our soul, as part of the divine, it carries, you know, it undergoes the same transformation. Also during the lifetime, we bring more and more and more of our soul in enter our bodies, we bring more and more and more of our soul into our awareness. So we don't change as much as we become who we are throughout lifetime, or at least that's the goal, right? Because it doesn't necessarily work out the way we plan. But that's the idea, that's the goal, to become more and more ourselves, to clear and clear and clear more of this, what is not real, of what is an illusion, of what are addictions, of what is, delusions, wrong perceptions, everything that does not last, to clear it away and become more and more and more in tune with our soul and bring more and more light into the physical. So that is what is happening on macro level and on a very micro level for each one of us daily. And it's a practice. And everyone is in the same boat. And it's equally hard for everyone, only we struggle with different things. But it doesn't mean that if you're very, very, very advanced soul, you don't have to do the work. No, you may struggle with different issues. You may struggle with ego, right? Or thinking that you're smarter than everyone else. Or thinking that you have to prove yourself to others. Although advanced souls actually struggle with other issues at the core. But everyone is in the same boat. So in between each physical experience, we also have an opportunity to rest, to reflect, and to design our next lifetime. So you may think, oh, well, who made me come here? What did I do in my past life to deserve this? No. You decided it. So to go from this place of victimhood and to realization that it's actually me who planned this life, it's quite a big step, and it takes a while to sift through into conscious awareness. But I believe we sit with our guides in between lifetimes, and we plan in broad brush strokes with our guides, who we will incarnate as, and what family, what country, and broadly, whom will we meet, where will we live, what path options will we have, because we don't have unlimited potential, right? There are some limitations. We can be a man or a woman, we can live on an island, 5 hours flight from everywhere else, and maybe we will never see an airplane in our life. Everything is possible, so a soul chooses to experience certain aspects of life. And also some souls will choose a slow, gentle maturation for a particular lifetime, and others will choose a faster pace and experience a great deal of turbulence over the course of that lifetime. And we all know those people who try to squeeze in 5 lives in one. I'm afraid I might be one of them. But the point is, and some people choose to experience a lot of trouble, wars and hurricanes, deaths, etc., very tragic lifetimes, and the soul wants to know what it is. That's part of the soul's journey. So while while I don't see karma as something negative, it's more like untying the knot. So there is no karma in the sense that, at least it doesn't work this way anymore. We live in very different times of grace as well. But I don't see karma as something negative that will be pounding you on the head for every wrong step you made, 50 lifetimes ago. No, it's more like a lesson to learn that you go through. So this is part of the soul work as well, learning the lessons. So what are then the soul ages? So as I said, we incarnate over and over again, and obviously as the soul learns more, it gets older and older, right? Just as the person gets older and older, as they learn more. So how do we then recognize different ages of the soul? We come to work through our karma, lessons from past lives, right? And learn and grow until we stop reincarnating and return to the Creator. that would be the main goal, to not have to incarnate anymore. There are exceptions to that, as I'll go into. So the first, the very, very young souls, the souls who experienced their first few incarnations on Earth, they called infant souls. And their experiences focused on physical survival. And the lifetimes would be very much about physical survival. So very much first chakra oriented. And, you know, perhaps, you know, there are countries where there are lots of infant souls. Because they choose then to incarnate together, basically, and go through this experience, which is very, very much centered around physical survival. As the soul matures, then we have baby souls, and their focus is on security and certainty. Experiencing security or lack of security in all its aspects, but also wanting to create a very secure life for themselves, what you can plan until your retirement age. And, you know, I lived in a Scandinavian country for 15 years, and I think a lot of souls there were really concerned with security and certainty for all and everything in their lives. And it can be very comforting for a while, but it also, some other souls are dissatisfied with this lifestyle because they feel it robs them of their creativity, so they want something more. But for some, right, this is the focus, this is what they're learning. So this would be very much also first, second chakra oriented. Then we have young souls who are focused on personal achievement. And these would be the, you know, the business, achievers, the builders, those who build tall buildings, large bridges, those who earn lots of money. The business people who build empires. And we need that, right? We need that in the world. We need someone to build the roads and to do the work, as much as we need those who are, you know, focused on survival. So these are achievers, and things come to them easily as well, because they're very much, you know, the lower three chakras focused, and the energy is more grounded. So they're very grounded, very earthy souls who have a great drive for achievement. That's what their purpose in life is. And of course, there are issues there too, right? They can be con artists and liars and egomaniacs, etc. But it's part from the soul perspective, right? So we don't judge. When we go into the level of the soul, we can't judge anymore because we see how it all connects into the experience of the soul. And the all, everyone who has reached a certain level of maturity has had those experiences. So as the soul goes further and further into, you know, this ladder of incarnations, the mature souls, they're focused more on relationships and feelings, so very much heart chakra oriented. And mature souls, you can recognize them by their really heart-centered approach to life, and very much about working on relationships with people. They're very interested in family and children, and understanding their feelings, working through their feelings, and interested in relationships, marriage, maybe perhaps from an early age, constantly wondering what the next relationship will be. There are many, many aspects to that, right? Some choose one stable relationship, some want to learn about relationships, become you know, psychologists or relationship coaches, whatever. But it becomes it's basically the main lesson, the main drive of the soul is about relationships and feelings. Whereas, you know, for younger souls, achievement would be more interesting. They would not prefer family to business. No, I have to work. You know, that's what matters. So these are the soul drives, the soul urges that really determine this age of the soul. And so we have old souls then who are who are seeing things from a broader perspective. Now, they have had all of these lifetimes behind them. They have had lifetimes that were all about relationships. They have had lifetimes that were all about achievement, or all about survival, that were all about certainty and security. And they have made mistakes, and they have killed people, and they have been killed, right, and cheated on people, and been cheated on in these lives. So they carry a lot of all of this baggage that the younger souls are accumulating. They have done it before. But the old souls are less caught up in relationship dramas. They're not, I wouldn't mean to say that they're not interested in relationships. We all relate to people, and of course, you know, it depends on how we grew up and what our goals are for this lifetime. Of course, some want stable family home, but they're not so attached to it. And not so attached to material possessions, security, and survival as well. It's more of a kind, you know, been there, done that attitude. Now what else is there? What else is there? It is not enough, you know. None of this is enough. So they see things from a broader perspective. However, most of them carry a great deal of baggage. And the greatest issues here are shame and guilt. Shame related really to all the soul history behind them, and guilt as well. So this is something that they're born with on a very deep, 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 deep level. Okay, so then we have all these old souls, and they can be further dissected, so to speak, into types of, you know, old sensitive souls. So some old souls have been through more incarnations than others. And some actually do not need to incarnate anymore. They have broken this cycle. They have learned every lesson and cleared all the karmas. So they don't need to. They can, you know, if you're a Buddhist, dissolve into oblivion, or if you are a Jewish Kabbalist, be united with the source and be in heaven. But yet they choose to come back to volunteer. So these are what I call advanced souls, sensitive souls, highly advanced souls. So they've acquired a great deal of knowledge, although most of them have very low self-esteem. Because, again, because of all this past life baggage, very, very low self-esteem, run over into the ground over and over and over again, carrying the low self-esteem issues from others, wanting to carry the pain of other souls on their backs, because they volunteer. They don't need to do it for themselves anymore. So they carry the pain of the world on their shoulders. These are the choices the souls has made. They may be right, they may be wrong, but that's what's happening. So they become less negatively affected by shame and guilt as the old souls, as they grow, and they can serve the world more fully. So some of them are very highly evolved. They can become more and more fully, they can step more and more fully into power. I do distinguish between sensitive souls and indigos, because indigos are different in terms of they don't have the shame and guilt aspect as much, and they don't have the low self-esteem issues. So from where I was learning this, sensitive souls can evolve to become more like indigos once they work through their self-esteem issues and get to stand more fully in their power. However, the sensitive souls, the advanced souls that I'm speaking about, are more highly evolved than indigos, actually, if they have had greater and more important lifetimes. But we do speak of indigos, and these are children and adults who display an unusual sense of independence and self-definition and purpose. So they know who they are and what they want from a very early age. And the main characteristics would be intelligent, sensitive, intuitive, and very strong-minded, with intolerance and anger towards rigid rules. So they may get in trouble with authority figures. They may also give up on trying to make a positive contribution to the world for this reason, because they have issues with authority. As all advanced sensitive souls, they don't want to be here, and they don't want to learn and do what they came here for. It's like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I doing in this world? And this is very common for many advanced souls, I think. So they are, you know, characterized as strange and different. We also know of crystal children, right? Those who are advanced indigos, who do not really have their angry edge, and they have very vast hearts and compassion for others, the crystal children. And finally, we have a bodhisattva. So a bodhisattva term, it comes from Buddhism, right? And it's not really based on the soul age as much as it is based on an attitude towards life. It can be taken by advanced souls, both by sensitive souls and indigos. And the goal of the bodhisattva is to help reduce the suffering of everyone, rather than focus on their own personal enlightenment. So these are usually souls who have reached, as I said, who have worked through their own karma. But they want to carry the suffering of others. And this is, actually, this is encountered very often. I had some of these vows as a soul when I started doing my soul work and discovering who I was as a soul. Many advanced souls choose to carry the suffering of others. And some of these choices that the soul makes, they really need to be cleared, because think of it, there will never be enough suffering. Suffering will never end. There is never an end to it. And you can get stuck as a soul in carrying stuff that is over your capacity. So some bodhisattvas are teachers and others are healers. And, you know, and some are invisible, serving as mothers and nurses and farmers. And some of them have been famous people, such as, for example, Mother Teresa. So this is all real. And but I think the concept, some vows of self, some bodhisattva vows, really need to be released, because many advanced souls have chosen to carry the sufferings of others in addition to their own. So imagine what a setup. So there is never going to be enough. So so this was an introduction then on what is a soul and soul work and ages of the soul, and what have we come here to do. So some of it may have resonated more, you know, than other things. And I welcome you, your questions, to look where the next set of broadcasts will go. I really appreciate you listening to this broadcast. So thank you so much, and I look forward to connecting with you in the future. Please pop me a question or drop me a line or look me up on www.healingradiance.com. Thank you.